Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text comes from the gospel lesson, especially these words. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is our text. You may be seated. On this date, 500 years ago in Worms, Germany, a monk, Martin Luther, from Wittenberg, was summoned to a meeting before the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and his officials and church officials. Now, Luther had already been excommunicated by the Pope. The hope was that Luther would back down and the emperor could put this whole sorry mess behind him. A stack of Luther's books and other writings were placed on a table next to him, and he was asked if these were indeed his writings. He replied that they were. Then he was asked to recant, to disavow what he had written, to take it all back, if you will. Luther asked for 24 hours to think it over. He was granted, and he came back the next day, April the 18th, 1521, to answer the questions again. Luther is reported as saying, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures, and I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot, and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to sin against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen." Now, I don't think Luther would have been surprised at all if he would have been arrested right there on the spot, tried, executed. His heresy was still a capital crime in the Holy Roman Empire. But Emperor Charles V had other things to worry about, more pressing matters than some disobedient monk. He didn't want to upset the German people by doing anything to Luther, since that's where much of his power base was. So for now, he let Luther go and resolved to deal with the matter later. But what was so important for Luther, he was willing to stand up to the emperor. Think of that. This is the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, and even risk death for it. It's the same thing that the martyrs of the first few hundred years of the church died for. It's the same thing that the martyrs of the Middle Ages died for. It's the same thing that martyred Christians throughout the world, even today, are willing to die for. It is the message of the Word of God, the law of Moses, of the Psalms, of the prophets, of the New Testament evangelists, the message that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. That is what matters. The church is often involved in many things. Individual congregations may be involved with many things, like taking care of the poor, the sick, widows, orphans, things such as engaging the culture by standing up for the difference between right and wrong, such as being upstanding members of the community, helping to serve the needs of the community. These are things which the church should be involved in, but all of these things are secondary. All of these things take a back seat to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, illuminated by the word of God as we have it in the Holy Scriptures. Luther knew that. Luther knew that if you didn't have the gospel, if the church loses the teaching of the forgiveness of sins as a free gift from God to all those who believe in Christ. If you lose that, there is nothing left. There is no church left. We too must stand for that truth. The truth that Jesus, fully God and fully man, was begotten by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, that he truly did walk this earth, actually performed miracles and preach, that he was crucified through the Jewish leadership, using the Roman authorities, that he truly did die, and that he actually, physically rose from the dead on the third day. These facts of history are true. But we do not stand firm on the facts of history merely to be good historians. But our conscience is bound up to these blessed facts, because we know they are for us and for our salvation. Jesus did these things for all people. Jesus did these things for you, so that you might have your sins forgiven, so that you might enjoy eternal life, so that for you, physical death is not the end, but the entrance to heaven. That is what Christianity is about. That's what it is. Without the gospel, it devolves into just any one of the other world religions. The writings that Luther refused to recant in 1521 aimed to free consciences from the bondage of works righteousness, the idea that what you do is what gets you into heaven, and that what you don't do keeps you out, by binding consciences instead to the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And so also we are bound to the Holy Scriptures and their inerrant truth, because they are the authority of God's word concerning Christ, in whom we have peace for our consciences and the forgiveness of sins. Luther appealed to Scripture, to the prophets, to the apostles, just as Christ did, over and against human opinions and corruptions. Our service, the service that we enjoy every Sunday, is rich with God's word from Moses and the prophets and the apostles, the Psalms. Christ is confessed in these words, as he tells us in the gospel reading. Thus, we are strengthened through the liturgy by these very words of God. It is that word that also declares to us that in our baptism, we are God's children. As John says in our epistle reading, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now." It is from the same word that God declares to us, "This is my body, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Everything we do here is connected through the word of God, connected to Christ, that we would remain in Christ. And we in turn echo these words to comfort our own consciences and to proclaim Christ's peace to others. The writer to the Hebrews stated, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." At Worms, Luther was doing this. He was holding fast to the confession that had been given to him, delivered through the ages from the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets. He was firm in this hope and would not waver. He refused to move away from his teaching unless he could be shown by Scripture that he was wrong. Because in the Scripture, we hear the voice of the promise of Christ himself. He who promised, he who alone is trustworthy. The Scriptures are that trustworthy testimony of God to us, a promise through which God brings his benefits to us. So on this third Sunday of Easter, the same week of the church year which Luther took his stand at Worms, the scriptures remind us what Christ stands for. Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, the certainty that we have peace with God, that we are no longer God's enemies, even if the world sees us as enemies of the world, that we have eternal life in his name. Whatever political power struggles, whatever social and ethical issues may arise in our day, whatever humanitarian disasters we must engage, our mission and existence does not begin or end there. We preach Christ crucified and raised for our eternal salvation. That is the center and the focus of the scriptures, to which every other scriptural truth in its own place also leads. This is the center of the church. This is what we can never deny, what we must always stand for. God help us in our day to be bold, to stand on the sure testimony of Scripture alone as the source and norm of faith and life, to repent of sin and pride, to trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. May God help us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.